broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for November the 26th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, to do so on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. The checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the peaceful restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. And as you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. We were live for Thanksgiving. We had a bunch of incredible guests. We were live yesterday, Friday, with Dr. Scott Bradley. FreedomsRisingSun.com, his website, his whole collegiate series, and lifelong goal to match to preserve the nation. And we talked about Psalms 19, quote, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. We talked about America. We talked about the night skies. We talked about what a wonderful place we have to live and be. We talked about the sacrifice of our founders and the legacy they set forth. We talked about the principles that made America great. We talked about our responsibility related thereto. We have responsibility to our constitutional republic. And we talked about the roots of our constitutional republic, maybe traced directly to the sacrifice of the pilgrims. We talked about George Washington specifically, and we talked about three main addresses he gave. First, his inaugural address, April 30th, 1789. We talked about his Thanksgiving proclamation, the George Washington Thanksgiving proclamation given on October 3rd, 1789, and George Washington's farewell address of September 19th, 1796. We talked about the nation's first president called for the American people to remain unified, to resist the rise of political factions, and avoid the influence of foreign powers. George Washington used his final public address as president. It was never given in a speech. It was written and delivered through newspapers all across the country. He wanted to warn against what he considered the two greatest dangers to American prosperity. What is that, you say? Answer: political parties and foreign wars. We're into both to our eyeballs, ladies and gentlemen. Political parties and foreign wars. We got to avoid those like the plague, said General George Washington in his farewell address. Religion and morality are necessary conditions of the preservation of a free government. Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. That was hour one. We continued with Dr. Scott Bradley. We talked about John Quincy Adams. Duty is ours. Results are God's. We talked about Dr. Bradley's point that everyone that holds political office should, quote, pray daily, study the scriptures daily, and frequently read the U.S. Constitution and the George Washington's farewell address. Yeah, that farewell address is packed with educational importance, folks. The bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, is we need to set our hearts on God, family, and country. We must spend our time on promoting Christ-like love through service and sacrifice. That's what we talked about yesterday. Our broadcast on Thanksgiving was equally powerful, promoting God, family, and country. We shall do no less today. We got a couple of topics to discuss with our guests before we get to the main issues of today's show. But Chris Carlson, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family, and welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Yes, sir, Sam. Without God, we cannot win. With God, we cannot lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in that fight. Lieutenant Carlson reporting for duty, sir. All right.
A couple of headlines to mention before we get to the topics at hand today that I just discovered in my news troll last night and this morning. Biden signs G20 declaration to force use of vaccine passports for international travel. You heard me. Joe Biden signs a declaration to force passports for international travel. Vaccine passports, world's 20 biggest economies give, quote, go ahead. Forbes.com. The G20, ladies and gentlemen, are going to force passports on us all globally. Vaccine passports. The G20 is who is promoting this. And I don't know if you know who the G20 is made up of, but let me just give you the countries. Ready? Argentina, Australia, Brazil, Canada, China, France, Germany, Japan, India, Indonesia, Italy, Mexico, Russia, South Africa, Saudi Arabia, South Korea, Turkey, the UK, the United States, and the European Union. Spain is also invited as what they call a, quote, permanent guest nation. They are literally doubling down and going to force vaccine passports globally. You thought this was a dead deal. Uh-uh. They've now quadrupled down globally, and they're going to push for it. And I don't know that we're going to be able to stop it at this point, because even if the United States says to Biden, no, we don't agree to these things unless Congress agrees, which is our way, other countries will just say, so what? You can't enter or leave our, quote, airspace, our country, cross our borders without it. Is the fix in is the question. Chris, what do you say, sir?
Well, don't forget the part where bureaucrats and politicians are exempt and diplomats. I'm sure that they will be, because they usually always are. It's called diplomatic immunity. But you and I, Sam, we won't be exempt. And, you know, I don't do a whole lot of traveling myself, so I'm not too awfully worried. But there are people that do international business in my neighborhood, and they will be affected. They may have to change jobs if they choose not to get the vaccines that will be appertaining to this new international law. And by the way, I don't remember voting in an international election. Was there an international election that we missed, Sam? Because I didn't vote.
Yes, there was. And let me explain how it worked. When you vote thugs into office and they take power out of themselves, and you don't force them by check and balance to stop and impeach them and use the remedies given to us by the Constitution to stop them from their abuses, they will take power absolutely. And just like a squatter, if you give them power long enough, it's assumed a power that they have. Just like if somebody squats on a piece of land and lives there for a long time at some point, or just like a common law marriage. At some point, if a man and woman live together in the, you know, male-female relationship long enough, it's as if they're married. Well, the same thing is true. If you let these thugs take power into themselves long enough, and we've let them lead out at these international cabals for literally decades. This has been going on since the League of Nations kind of stuff. The United Nations has been around longer than our lifetimes, and I'm 55 years old. All right, and so we look at this and say, we have given them authority and power by our negligence, by our dereliction of duty, by our lack of willing to hold them to account. When somebody squats on your land, it's time to use every means to get them off the land immediately, or you acquiesce and give them what they call 9/10 of the law possession. And that's the problem that we face today, Chris. All right, we'll try to get Chris back. In the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, this is a very serious issue, in my opinion. Biden literally signing G20. I guess it's the 27 meeting that they've had or whatever. It's a declaration to force use of vaccine passports for, quote, international travel. This is disaster, in my opinion, folks. And when you literally have 20 nations involved, I don't know how easy that's going to be to stop. I really don't. Because, again, how are you going to control all those other nations? Some of these nations have already had these vaccine passports in place since like 2020, 2021 kind of range. Some of them were even working on these passports. There's evidence that they were working on these before COVID even hit, which really makes you wonder how much they knew about COVID coming and or how they want this lockdown, and COVID's just the excuse. This provides evidence for that, folks. This is a very serious, serious concern. But look, unless the American people push back hard, and that's kind of my point to Chris, unless we literally push back hard, we've given them the authority by our negligence, by our lack of demanding accountability. They've got 9/10 of the law, quote, possession equivalent now, or they've got squatter's rights. So they've got whatever you want to call it, common law marriage or common law authority, because we have not pushed to stop it. Now, I don't agree that that has factual law behind it. It has precedence, though, and they become about impossible to stop when that's the case. Chris?
Yeah, so we got cut off, as you know, Sam. As I was off the air, I went ahead and checked my Constitution. I don't remember, and I don't didn't see in the Constitution any mention of international government. Just saying. So maybe our politicians need to reread that Constitution. So that
it's all about money. We'll get to that coming up in seconds with Chris Carlson. I want to mention to you all good news on money and then bad news. Ready? Good news. Today is Small Business Saturday. It's time to support your favorite local mom-and-pop shops on Small Business Saturday.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
Do you treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
All right, we're talking about money. Today is Small Business Saturday. It's time to support your favorite local mom-and-pop shops, Chris.
Well, I'll support mine by going to work as soon as the show's over. How's that?
No, man, you don't need to go to work. You need to spend the time on Saturday. It's a Thanksgiving holiday weekend, my friend. You got to spend some time with your family. You got to get a Christmas tree. You got to go shop some local businesses, man. You got to get out and make friends, win friends, influence people. You got to. Come on now, Chris. You can't be working today, buddy.
I know. I am a small business, so I guess I'm supporting myself by working. Does that make any sense?
No.
No way. All right.
Not on this holiday, my friend. Did you work on Thanksgiving?
Only around my house. I put up my Christmas lights on Thanksgiving. That's kind of a tradition.
Well, that's a good thing to do. That's all right. You can let your family work on the food, and you can work on the Christmas lights. I like that. That's a good idea. But, man, you got to take a little bit of time off and smell the roses once in a while there, buddy.
Yeah, I know. There's some history here, Sam. You think that I work too much, and I agree, but my wife thinks that too. So there's two witnesses. Maybe I should take
heed to that. Well, if everybody agrees, if you and your wife and I agree, then I don't understand what your deal is.
I don't know. That's my comfort zone. Work is my comfort zone. I feel
productive. Yeah, but it becomes an addiction.
I know.
You got to get off the track, buddy.
I take Sundays off.
All right, you got to get off the crack of work, man. It becomes too. It'll give you a heart attack, and you'll die early if you're not careful. All right, I want to talk about the fall of the crypto cabal. FTX was a massive money laundering slush fund for Democrats. They say apparent self-hack in progress to drain all assets. Mike Adams, naturalnews.com. I want to start out by giving one correction before I let you rock and roll on this, Chris. See, I don't like when we say, oh, it's the Democrats. Oh, it's the Republicans. See, that Hegelian dialectic lie is a disgrace. It is the deep state on both sides that are garnering big money from all kinds of sources. George Soros, cryptocurrency, slush funds, PACs, bundlers. I mean, you can go on and on and on and on the way they garner, in my opinion, illicit money for their tweaked, dishonest, destroy America agenda. But it's not just Democrats. And I don't like it when people point to one side or the other, because it just creates this Hegelian dialectic deceptive lie. And it doesn't focus on the reality that it's an apparent self-hack in progress to drain all assets. That's all true. But it's really for them to recover all assets to the deep state, Chris.
Oh, yeah, it's a siphoning operation, and you're right. I mean, people like Mitch McConnell, they're secure in their elections, aren't they? And Lindsey Graham and all those people, they don't have to worry about getting voted out of office because they're just as bad as the Democrats. So, no, for 22 years, as you know, Sam, I have not considered it a battle between good and evil. That fake left-right paradigm was shattered 22 years ago in my mind. But, yeah, so you've got the fall of the crypto cabal, and I remember a friend of mine who was that said that don't tip your toe in the crypto, and I added to that, don't tip your toe in the crypto and get ripto. And it looks like a few people got ripto, Sam.
Amen to that. Don't dip your toe in the crypto, you'll get ripto. That's for sure. And a lot of people are getting fleeced on this, but make no mistake, any member of the deep state, they're not getting fleeced at all, Chris. Cryptocurrency, nope, they, as you mentioned, it's a highly
unstable. Is that the word you're looking for?
It's a highly speculative casino currency, as you say.
Yes, that too.
Keep going.
It's a highly speculative casino currency that has absolutely no intrinsic value, and that's the problem. Unlike gold and silver, there's nothing backing it. The only thing backing it is people's hope that, you know, it will go up. And that's all that's backing it. But other than that, there's nothing there. There's no good or bad cryptocurrency, I go on to say. There is that which we earn honestly and which we earn by fraud and deceit. And crypto falls under that fraud and deceit category, Sam. Cryptocurrency is that which we earn by fraud and deceit. And it is axiomatic. And we are all learning right now, just like you warned us, Sam. You've been warning about cryptocurrency for the last 3, 4, 5 years?
I've been warning about it since anybody really knew about it. But really, I've been warning about it for over 25 years. And I'll tell you how and why. You say, well, Sam, you didn't even know about cryptocurrency 25 years ago. How could you be warning against it? And I'll explain to you how. I maintain to you that constitutional currency is gold and silver. And it's intrinsic value based. It is Bible. The Bible calls it honest weights and measures. We call it honest money. Okay. And the fundamental understanding is asset for asset. Nothing created out of thin air. Value for value, asset for asset. And so I told you that anything that doesn't fit that bill is absolutely fiat and bogus. So I don't care what comes up in the next 25 years. I warned you against it now. just like 25 years ago, I warned you against it, even though I didn't know what it was. Because what I know is it's not constitutional currency. It's not biblical weights and measures of honesty. It's not gold and silver. Therefore, whatever comes up next, whether I know about it or not, whether I can articulate the parameters or the details of it or not, does not matter. I am warning you against it and telling you that it's fool's gold. All right? I'm telling you that it's a game. I'm telling you that it will never work. It'll never be stable. It'll never pass asset-based value-for-value muster. It will never have the ubiquitous properties that make it a constitutional currency. And therefore, I don't care what it is tomorrow, what new name, what new details, how it works. I don't care. It will not work. And so I'm telling you that I warned about this over 25 years ago before it ever even hit the scene, Chris.
Wait a minute. How did you know? Did you have a crystal ball, Sam?
I just know if it's fiat, and if it doesn't have those fundamental properties, it's bogus. I don't care what form it takes next week.
If it doesn't require human labor to create it, then it's bogus. And if certain people have an exclusive right to be able to produce it, just like our fiat currency, the dollar, so-called dollar bill, it's actually a Federal Reserve note, a.k.a. fraudulent reserve note, it's bogus. Gold and silver, it takes labor to extract it from the earth. And God put it there for a reason. I mean, there's a reason that gold, for example, does not tarnish, and that it has a beautiful color, and that it has other uses than just for an exchange currency. You can use it for jewelry. There's industrial uses, especially silver. So all of those factors make gold and silver an ideal currency of exchange. And it has a 6,000-year track record of success, Sam. Cryptocurrency has only been around for a few years, and already we're starting to see cracks in its applicability.
Well, because remember, you know, when you have something that depends on electricity, number one, for the creation of, and number two, for the storage and distribution of, what happens if electricity's gone? See, I'm very stupid. You got to help a guy like me figure this out, because I say, when I ain't got any electricity, how do I buy my groceries?
That's right. That's right. And then, I mean, it's not unprecedented. I mean, especially the way things are going. Antifa, Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, just ask the folks in Texas last year, the year before, that had, what, a cold winter for once in Texas, and their whole grid melted down, and they were down for days, and people were cold, and people didn't have food while food was spoiling at the same time, and all this stuff. And, you know, it was relatively short-lived. But if that's not a smattering of what can happen, how many folks got to their digital currency during that scandal?
Yeah, my daughter and son-in-law were in Texas at that time. They witnessed it firsthand.
And were they using their crypto?
No. Hopefully not. Hopefully their investments are in something.
I guarantee they weren't, because there wasn't electricity, so they couldn't be.
Oh, that was a trick question.
And even if they had some weird way to have a battery and their electricity happened, what about the next guy that you wanted to send it to? So you got to have electricity for both parties, even if you say, Sam, I got a Faradite cage, buddy. An EMP can't even take me down. Fine. What about the other Joe Blow next door that you want to buy firewood from to keep your house warm? See if he can't get to his digital fiat currency. If he can't dip his toe in the crypto because it's too cold and it's iced over, then what? See? I'm not very smart, folks, but I understand these simple principles. And that's why gold and silver is the only combination of currency. In other words, gold and silver both. You can't have one without the other either. That's why those two, the founding fathers, understood the ubiquitous capabilities, the intrinsic value, the unique properties that make it the only legitimate currency that'll work. Some will say to me, no, Sam, you can use whiskey. No, Sam, you can use grain. We'll talk about that, because if I have to travel 2,000 miles somewhere, how am I going to take all that whiskey or grain with me? See, it's portability. It's intrinsic value for a lot of reasons. They're called properties of honest money. We'll talk about it in seconds. We'll talk about Joel Skousen, World Affairs Breach Response, as well, with Chris Carlson on your radio.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. We'll be right back.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Online Black Friday sales are expected to break records. According to Adobe Analytics, U.S. online sales are projected to top $9 billion, which would be a new record. The numbers come on the heels of a big day of Thanksgiving shopping online, with numbers up 3% year over year. Ryan Patel is a senior fellow at the Drucker School of Management. He tells CNN that supply chain issues are still causing people to alter their shopping habits.
People are making decisions, let me buy it now, even before, as you and I discussed, a couple of weeks before Black Friday, to ensure that you get what you needed, that you're looking for, and that you don't have to fight for it in a couple of weeks for Christmas shopping.
We're learning new details about a man who committed mass murder at a department store earlier this week.
The man accused of killing six of his co-workers at a Virginia Walmart before turning the gun on himself wrote, "Bullying is why he opened fire on his colleagues." It's being reported by Virginia TV stations. The suspect left a message on his cell phone. The note said he was upset about a recent change in his employment status at Walmart and claimed his co-workers were harassing him about it. From the West Coast USA Radio News Bureau, I'm Lance Pry.
President Joe Biden said he has not directly engaged with rail labor negotiations, despite the White House press secretary saying earlier this week that he has been directly involved. Appearing on Fox and Friends, Florida Republican Congressman Michael Walls says the president may be trying to distance himself from the situation.
This affects the shipment of coal, not that the left would mind that, but our drinking water, everything that comes into our ports. We can't function without our railroad workers, and they need to get this back on track.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshares. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, well, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, founder and CEO of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. And the process started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you could buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. Sounds crazy, right? Well, the crazy thing is, this never ends. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. I guarantee if we can't cancel your timeshare, you'll pay nothing.
Were you lied to when buying a timeshare and want out? Get the facts about timeshare cancellation. Call Wesley now for your free information kit. 800-478-7733. 800-478-7733. 800-478-7733.
Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable. There's another aspect to this discussion about cryptocurrency that I would like to delve into at this time, and it's a moral aspect. So this individual, his name is Sam Bankman-Fried. Some people pronounce it Fried. He made multi-gazillions of dollars by issuing this cryptocurrency. Now, is he going to build character and self-discipline by just creating this cryptocurrency out of thin air, just like the Federal Reserve does? No. Heavenly Father, when he expelled Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden, he decreed specifically to Adam that in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. And that can be found in Genesis 3:19. God did this to Adam, not because he hated him, and he did this to every one of us on this earth. He decreed that we should eat our bread by the sweat of our brows. In other words, we should labor for that which we earn. Well, I guess that's redundant, but yeah, we should labor for that which we consume. And he didn't do that to punish him or us by extension. He did that so that Adam and Eve, by extension, would develop character and self-worth. Without working and sacrificing for the things we receive, our lives become insignificant to others around us, because there's no value exchange that benefits those within the spheres of our economic influence. The exchange of goods and services in a free market economy rewards those who work hard and live honest and upright lives. It disincentivizes the curse of idleness, laziness, and graft. In short, physical labor produces strong and efficient economies that provide prosperity and happiness to its people.
in cryptocurrency creates this frenzy about I'm going to get rich quick if I invest in this money, or, you know, if I somehow a beneficiary of this craze. And we're seeing cryptocurrency go down, down, down. Now those people that thought they were going to be overnight millionaires, you know, where do they sit? Where do their families sit? Did they develop character? Did they develop discipline? Did they develop all the other qualities that go along with working hard in exchange for the things that we consume? No.
And let me be very clear, Chris. In an honest money scenario, it's impossible to get rich quick.
Yes. You have to exchange some. You have to bless your neighbor or somebody else in the economy in which you operate. See, that's the genius of the free market system with honest money, Sam. You are literally compelled to bless other people in order for yourself to be blessed. You know, by just printing money or printing cryptocurrency, I know that's not how they do it, electronically they do it, but by doing that, you're increasing your own wealth, but you're not blessing anybody else because you're not creating anything of intrinsic value. And people don't seem to make that connection, Sam, and it frustrates me.
Well, and understand something. Let's say that I all of a sudden stumbled on a gold mine. People would say, Sam, you didn't develop character. You didn't to get rich. But my response to you is, whether I know the gold's there or not, it existed before I discovered it. So am I rich if I never use it? If I just know it's there and I own it and I control it, but I never use it, am I rich?
No.
The answer is no, because I haven't bought anything. I haven't generated wealth. I haven't done anything with it. Just my knowledge that it's there versus my knowledge that it's not there, or not knowing where it is, doesn't make the difference of being rich. It's when you then take that asset now, gold or silver, I'm going to use honest weights and measures in the Bible to make my point, and I'm going to use it compared to talents. Did you know talents were money back in the day? All right. Talents are also related to you as a person. In order for me to develop my character now, if I have this hidden wealth or known wealth, supposedly, then I must do things to bless others with it. That's what God helped me discover it for. Now, in the use of that currency or the use of that asset, now I become rich. I can buy houses. I can employ people. I can do things with that wealth that then builds my character. Right? I can learn about the laborers in the field parable that Jesus Christ told. I can learn about the talent, hiding it under a bushel versus getting out and using those talents. And these are the things that change the game. These are the things that either magnify who I am. They either magnify my good qualities, if I'm a good person, where I want to employ people, where I want to make the world a better place with my wealth, or can heighten my evil nature and exploit people if I choose. So, you know, wealth is neither good nor bad. It's in whose hands it's in, and it enhances who someone really is, Chris. And so this is what we mean when we talk about honest money, and that it forces character through the sweat of your brow. Do you hire people, and do you put them to work, and do you then take that exchange and transfer it for their work? Now we're talking about asset for asset, value for value. Even if I find gold, someone's got to take it out of the earth. Someone's got to refine it. Somebody's got to mint it. Somebody's got to put it into an honest weight and measure that we can all depend on. Thus, the Constitution comes into play in our country. But this is what we mean. It doesn't just happen by accident, and it doesn't happen without significant effort, Chris.
Yeah, and, you know, we talked at the beginning of the show how I'm a workaholic. I enjoy being productive. In fact, I claim, and this is kind of silly, but I claim that my food tastes better at the end of the day after a hard day's work. And food doesn't taste any different. What happens is you realize that you've earned what you then have at the end of the day, you know, comfortable, warm home, delicious food, you know, the ability to just sit down and relax and read a book or you know, watch a sporting event. You get that satisfaction that you've contributed not only to your family, but to people within your community, your economic sphere of influence. Like you said, and Heavenly Father, He could provide everything for us. He could give us our mansions right now here on this earth. And a lot of people would love it if He did that. not me, because I know that that would ruin the plan of happiness. The plan of happiness is designed to build character and discipline within each individual working within that plan. And the only way we can do that is if we have to work for that which we earn. And people think they're going to get rich overnight. Sometimes they do. But I know a lot of those people, Sam. A lot of those people are actually my customers. And they think that, wow, now I'm doing a day in my life. I can sit around in my pajamas all day and watch TV. And they usually watch Fox, thinking now they're, because they're conservative. They think Fox is conservative. Anyway, that was a tangent I probably shouldn't have gone down. But they're not really happy. And their bodies degenerate fast. They're always complaining about the pains here or aches there, because they're not productive. They're not doing what their bodies were designed to do, which is to be productive. And when we have everything given to us on a silver platter, we'll never be happy. It's only when we learn to develop our minds and our bodies in the capacity to work and produce and to bless others and ourselves that we become happy. And that's why the system under which we were supposed to operate constitutionally, being degenerated the way it is, it's producing unhappiness. We've got millions and millions of people in this country who are on the dole, who think that they're getting away with something, that they're somehow obtaining an advantage over others because everything is given without effort. And they themselves are miserable. They're overweight in many cases. They're not even physically attractive because they don't work and exercise their muscles. And they wonder why, then they vote democratically because they think that, a political party is going to solve their problems. But they cannot figure out why they're in this rut that they've developed for themselves, because they think that the way to happiness is obtaining things. And it never was about obtaining things. It's about developing individuals spiritually, physically, socially, and intellectually. And all those things can be accomplished if we work within the plan that Heavenly Father has established for us and has outlined in our founding documents, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. And only by applying those principles to our day-to-day lives, Sam, can we find true happiness and come closer to God as a result.
Amen to that. The fall of the crypto cabal, though, is the next step in the tyranny that they have planned. Gold and silver, God's decreed. Constitutional money requires labor to extract from the earth. Therefore, it has intrinsic value. But Joel Skousen speaks to this and talks about, you know what? These cryptocurrencies are an inevitability, Chris.
Yeah. An inevitability. Oh, okay. In a sense, the government will eventually embrace them and use them.
And force them upon us. Joel Skousen says this, quote, "I have never been a fan of cryptocurrencies being total fiat inventions and susceptible to complete loss if the internet goes down after an EMP strike and or something like that. But with all of these, quote, secure but inconvenient digital currencies trying to gain a foothold in the established money chain, the rise of crypto exchanges to facilitate verification and trade are inevitable." We'll talk about their inevitability and what we can do in seconds with Chris Carlson on your radio.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable with Sam Bushman and Saturday morning guest Chris Carlson. So Sam talked about Joel Skousen and him saying that cryptocurrencies are inevitable. And I think they will be. And, you know, you can forget about the blockchain, by the way. I mean, just as they have inflated fiat currency that we use today, they will. They'll jettison the blockchain. So there will be just as much inflation, if not more, because that is a weapon that they've used in the past. That's a weapon that they're using now. And that's a weapon that they will continue to use into the future. So forget about the blockchain. That was just a phony selling point that they used to try to transition us from local currencies, national currencies, to inevitably and ultimately a world currency. And that will be crypto in nature. And the reason that they've hyped up crypto these last, 10, 15 years is to get us used to thinking that it is a solution to the problem that we are now experiencing, which, as I mentioned, was inflation. Nothing could be further from the truth. You give an individual, a human being, the power to inflate currency to his or her benefit, and they will always abuse that power. And we will not be going to gold and silver. We will not be going to anything that is backed by anything intrinsic. But Joel Skousen feels it is inevitable, as Sam read in that quote that he quoted last segment. And so the potential for fraud, once you trust any asset to businesses outside your control, and I'm not sure why he used businesses exclusively. He should have said businesses and governments, because they work hand in hand, will result in the same problems that we have experienced from the beginning of time, because, you know, fiat currencies have been around from the beginning of time. So, and another thing that I would like to add to that is about 2 years ago, Sam, the SEC came out with a statement stating that they have power and authority to regulate cryptocurrencies. A lot of people don't realize that. A lot of people think that cryptocurrencies are independent of government regulation and control. They are not, and they certainly will not be going into the future. And this incident with FTX, a lot of people are speculating that this was a planned collapse of the FTX currency. Sam, you can chime in on this. And I tend to believe that to induce the average American and the average person, you know, within his respective country to respond in a way that we will accept government regulation of cryptocurrencies. And a lot of times, I mean, I think that it may, I mean, obviously there are other purposes for its collapse, but I think one of the reasons, I think it's a controlled collapse so that they can introduce more government regulation into the
system. Let me explain this to you. You know, everything goes kind of bad unless government kind of stabilizes everything, Chris. You know that. And the Federal Reserve did such a phenomenal job over 100 years ago stabilizing our money. I mean, the greatest prosperity in the world has been after the Federal Reserve took control. So you know they're stable and good and honorable and right and moral and necessary. And therefore, what we really need to do is put the Federal Reserve in charge of the cryptocurrencies as well, because then it'll be stable. You won't have these crazy things like the FTX meltdowns where everybody loses all their wealth and everything else. You'll have the Federal Reserve to be your buddy and take care of it all just for you. That's the lie they're going to tell, Chris. And they might not get it done this time. It's a little bit like gun control. They might fail something, threaten to take it over, back off, something else fails, the need gets greater. In other words, it might take two or three or four rounds of manipulation of the minds and hearts of the people to get it done. Remember when they tried the fiat Federal Reserve system in the beginning, they tried that under Andrew Jackson Watch, former president, and he routed the bankers and the thugs out and said no. So it might take two or three times to get this done, but that is their end game. That is their goal. And I joke about the Federal Reserve being your buddy and your friend and everything, but that's the way they pitched the lie, and it's worked getting rid of honest money, and it'll work in replacement of crypto as well. Among those who don't realize the agenda of the deep state. Now you say, what can you do about it, ladies and gentlemen? I've been telling people for over 25 years, look, don't panic, don't melt down, don't get crazy. You got to have a little bit of beans, a little bit of Band-Aids, a little bit of bullets, right? You got to have a lot of a little bit of things. You got to prepare. You got to find a way to get yourself off the grid. You got to find a way to live without the modern appliances and conveniences. You got to find a way to have a little bit of a lot of things. And it takes time and patience to gain those things. You got to have ways to have water, ways to have the fundamentals and not depend as much on. And I'll give you a quick example to make the point. I had a cousin that lived in Mexico, and they had a big downturn economically in Mexico. And I said, man, are you guys hating it? She goes, you know, we live so poor and so close to the earth, we don't even know what's happening, nor do we care.
There you go.
And that's kind of the point I'm getting at, folks. I'm not telling you to become a pauper tomorrow. I am telling you to prepare all needful things. And you know what? You don't need a gazillion dollars in crypto. You don't need a gazillion dollars in gold and silver either. What you need is a greater store, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit of all kind of things. You need food. You need water. You need fuel. You need clothing. You need all these different things, just a little bit, and then a little more, and a little more, and a little more. And over time, let me say it like this. Your lamp is full of oil. Can I say it any other way? That's what we need to do, folks. But you know what? Claude Frederick Bastiat kind of highlights this fallacy about this money and about reality for us. He's been around, well, let's say this. He was around a long time ago, Chris.
Yep. He died in 1850. So this just proves, Sam, that those principles that we're talking about right now have been around for years. They're eternal principles. They've been around forever. What am I talking about? You cannot date them. And Frederick Bastiat, a Frenchman, he was born in 1801. So he lived a relatively short life. He was 49 years old when he passed away. He was born in France, and he was educated at the Hotel Abbaye École des Cerises. That's my best French. And he was an economist, and he wrote a book, and it's very famous among libertarians and conservative-minded people. Sam, it was called simply The Law. And it's a very short book, I read it, and I extracted some of the more salient points from that book, and we'll go ahead and share those with our listening audience at this time. He starts off with the broken window fallacy. Have you ever heard of the broken window fallacy, Sam?
Yes, I have.
Okay, he wrote an article on that and translated it into English as What Is and What Is Unseen. In the article, a boy breaks a window. However, the local people decide that the boy has helped the local economy. Their reasoning is, number one, shop owners employ a glazier. A glazier is a guy that replaces glass. I used to do some of that work myself to repair the window, who gains extra income. Woohoo! The glazier sees an increase in income, which then he uses to send into other shops, benefiting other shopkeepers. This increases the spending in that little local economy and creates the local multiplier effect. Woo! Number three, overall, it seems that the local economy has benefited from a flurry of economic activity. So I guess we'll go around breaking windows so that we can stimulate economic activity and we'll all become rich, right? With all that economic activity. What people don't factor into that fallacy, however, Sam, is the opportunity cost factor, okay? And that's key to understanding why going around breaking things is not going to make us rich. And here's how I explain it. So these are my words. The broken window fallacy states that if money is spent on repairing the damage, it is a mistake to think that this represents an increase, and that's the key word, an increase in economic output and economic welfare. If money is spent on repairing a broken window, the opportunity cost is that individuals cannot spend money on more productive goods. The broken window doesn't increase overall output. It merely shifts an economy from productive output to maintaining the existing situation with a loss of time, resources, and energy. Okay, so that's why we don't go around throwing garbage out our windows to create jobs for people who don't have jobs, because it doesn't create an addition of wealth into the system, just maintains status quo. Anyway, so that's the broken window fallacy. And
Bastiat teaches this by further saying this: when a portion of wealth passes from the person who has acquired it without his, quote, consent and without, quote, compensation to someone who has not created it, this then becomes by force or fraud.
Yes.
And so Bastiat says that there's been a violation of property rights, and there has also been an act of plunder. That's important to understand. Basically, what he's saying is, hey, you cannot redistribute wealth. You cannot take from someone by force and give to another without violating those laws. One of the other ways, Ezra Taft Benson, former Secretary of Agriculture, said this is, you cannot ever justify the few at the expense of the many. You can't pull the lever of government in favor of the few at the expense of the many. Okay, what you need to look at is what is good for all. If it's defensive in nature and benefits all equally, then it makes sense. If it doesn't, it pits one group against another in society. So this broken window fallacy has origins of that. It makes it sound like, hey, we all have to contribute in this, as if somehow by something being destroyed or violated, that wealth is generated. That is a complete lie. Bastiat says life, liberty, and property do not exist because men have made laws. On the contrary, it is because the fact is that life, liberty, and property existed beforehand that caused men to make laws in the first place. See, we can't let the tail wag the dog. We can't let the cart get before the horse. There's so many ways to say this. I call this the great lie, Chris. If the government doesn't do it, nobody will. See, and so we somehow back ourselves into this big lie justification, Chris.
Yeah, and there's so many different angles we can go off on to develop those principles. And the government should be our servant. See, that's where we've gotten things backwards. So somewhere along the course here in the last 230-some years of our constitutional republic, government transitioned from being our servant to our master. And, you know, now we're the servants of government. So we serve the creature that the people created, you know, through righteous laws and righteous principles. You know, now we feel that whatever government says has to go. And if you want to benefit any segment of society, it has to be through government. It can't be through individual means.
Ladies and gentlemen, when we get back, this Bastiat discussion really brings up this big lie. If the government doesn't do it, nobody will. That isn't true, never has been, never will be. And maybe it's the fact is nobody will do it. Maybe it's something that should not be done. Interesting question, right? When we come back next hour, we're going to continue this incredible topic. We're talking about what is law? What is liberty? We'll talk about them both in seconds next hour on your radio. Hour one of the can, hour two coming up. We the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. Ladies and gentlemen, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.